This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Gadget Geek, show number 391, recorded on February 21st, 2019. Here at Home Gadget Geeks, we cover all the favorite tech gadgets that find their way into your home. News, reviews, product updates, and conversation, all for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live from the Average Guy Tech Studios here in a snowy, nice today. Mike, I'm hearing ice coming on Saturday with some snow.
I'm hearing 8 to 12 inches coming Saturday.
Do you have any room on your yard?
I was just going to say, I don't know where I'm going to put it. Luckily, I got a snowblower, so I just keep shooting it over, and my yard's piling up.
No, we've gotten 40 some inches of snow, I think, to this point. And Dwayne, you don't have any snow in your yard.
A lot of it's still on the ground.
Yeah. You guys are, I didn't know you guys were in Seattle, because what I got in Seattle like a week ago.
Seattle, they get a foot of snow and they have nothing to deal with it. And,
it was crazy. It was like 10 inches a day. It was crazy. Yeah, I've never seen anything like that in Seattle.
A lot of snow. I bet I've got 30. I bet I got 2 or 3 feet of snow in some places where, you know, we've blown it into the other sections.
Totally.
Right.
And same here.
It's piling up. Well, the good news is spring is coming. Allegedly. That's
whatever.
That's what I've heard. It's allegedly it's coming. We of course post a show with world-class show notes, and there'll be a few. Dwayne's got a few that he's brought with us tonight out at the Average Guy. TV. Don't forget, you can also join us live on our mobile app. If you haven't done that yet, download it, homegadgetgeeks.com. Android, iPhone, both. It's there for you. We want to thank our Patreon subscribers who support us and support the app every single month. And if you head out there, it's the best way to catch it streaming. Dwayne was talking in the pre-show about how much he's been traveling. And no matter where he's at, he could always listen to Home Gadget Geek streaming on the mobile
app. Or you can download it and watch it offline with your favorite podcast app catcher.
Yeah, you can do that as well. You know, Mike, the video RSS feeds, I think I've mentioned this before, are ridiculously popular. Like, they're almost doing as many downloads as the audio is doing now. And I don't get it. I didn't think video RSS would be all that.
We must have a lot of airplane travelers, because honestly, that's when I have honestly downloaded the video of any podcast. Because think about it, on an airplane, if you don't want to work, then your next option is, well, if I'm going to listen to it, I might as well watch it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I can't listen to it on a plane. Like, I can't listen to a podcast on an airplane. I just can't do it. I got to be doing, looking, watching. Dwayne, in all the miles that you do, what's your choice? I mean, what do you like? What are your favorite things to do when you're on the plane? Watching, listening, what do you do?
So, I have to watch. I can't. It depends. Like, some of the listen ones, like The Verge doesn't do a video podcast. They only do audio. So I only turn them on when I want to sleep, because Eli Patel puts me to sleep pretty well. So, no, I'm just kidding. If I'm in that mode where I just want to, you know, kick back and relax, and I want to play a game, then I go to those type of podcasts. But typically I want the ones with video, and especially when I'm on with you guys, because I always bring props. Mm-hmm. And the issue is that when you start talking about something, sometimes that people are talking about what they're seeing, and it's kind of frustrating. Oh,
yeah.
Which you need to remind me to tell you about that Soundscape thing I saw from Microsoft. That's something I didn't put in the show notes, but it's cool.
All right. Well, we'll cover that there at the end. Somehow our video RSS feed available. If you're wondering, like, oh, I didn't even know they had video RSS. So if you head out to theaverageguy.tv and you look under the section, I think I have a subscribe tab. And if you go to that subscribe tab and you scroll down, it has all the ways you can subscribe to Home Gadget Geek, Cyber Frontiers, if you want to. In fact, I'm holding a Cyber Frontiers right now, waiting for Christian to kind of update some things. And it gives you all the ways, including Spreaker and Stitcher and iHeartRadio and TuneIn and now Spotify. You can get the RSS feed. You can get a video large and a video small RSS feed. I do not know why I've made that many ways for you to consume it, but I have, and many of you do. And I'm continually stunned we get that many people. Like I said, it's almost as big, and maybe in some cases, some weeks, it's been bigger than our audio download. So pretty surprising. By the way, all free to download. It's great if you do the video. We use Mediafire, so if you haven't checked that out yet, Mediafire.com. They host our video files for us, and we appreciate them. And they have done that now for the last couple of years. And you can get some pretty reasonable storage out there at Mediafire.
They're a great host. I use them for all of my podcast audio as well, even.
Yeah, no, it's been super good. And
like $3 a month or something like that, like crazy. What? Low.
Well, they like bucket.
Your bandwidth.
Yeah, they bucket your bandwidth.
So I have like a couple petabytes of bandwidth built up because I've had it for like 3 years and I never even use it. They give you like a terabyte of bandwidth. No, more than that, a month, I want to say. And you get, I don't even know how much storage I have, but I only pay $2 a month for my podcast hosting.
Yeah, maybe a little more expensive for folks buying plans right now. You probably were grandfathered.
I think
they were a little cheaper back in the day. But check them out, Mediafire.com. We appreciate their support. They do host all the video RSS for us. Big thanks also to Sarah, who joined us last week on the program. Mike, you got a chance to listen. How did we do? It was a pseudo suit and scrubs podcast. How'd we do?
Yeah, no, that was great. I loved getting the insight. I love how you guys talked about the kids and you know your parenting styles. You talked about tech. You talked about pretty much everything, right? Like it was kind of cool that you guys had the tech angle to always go back to. That was kind of nice. I think Hannah and I in our suit and scrubs, we kind of struggled to find like what's our angle every time. We always kind of jump around a lot. You guys always had the tech side to anchor you, but it led to some really cool conversations. So if you didn't check that one out, you guys should go listen to Jim and Sarah. Jim, I'm hoping that happens more than just on Valentine's Day.
Oh, really?
I think you need to get some of those maybe twice a year, you know, find another day and maybe in the fall and have those conversations. It was great.
Yeah, she's pretty good. And it was fun to have her on and fun to talk about that. At least Valentine's Day for now, that or around the Valentine's time. I think she'll keep coming back. We got a lot of good feedback on it. So I want to thank Sarah for coming on last week. She did say to me, like, she goes, you do have that kind of radio voice thing going on when you're doing this. Like, it's not your normal, you know.
How she normally talks to you.
Yeah. Right. No, right on. I think I'm super boring otherwise. And then just when I get on the, you know, because you're always trying to keep the conversation going and, you know, you got to do all these things.
Right.
I think you just get in a rhythm with it.
And that's one thing that I found.
I was going to say, I just want to interrupt to say, Jim, In real life, you are more boring than you are here.
Sweet. That's sweet.
I haven't spent enough time with you, Jim.
I know we need to remedy that for sure. So, but if you haven't listened to it, 390, and we'll have her back at least next February, but maybe fall. I don't know. We'll see. If you're listening to this and you listen to that one, send me an email, jim@theaverageguy.tv. Let me know how you liked it. We've gotten some good feedback via the Facebook group. But if you want to hear it again, let me know. Speaking of that, we have gone Discord. So you've been asking, finally gave in. Christian, we were recording Cyber Frontiers 53 this week. And he said, seriously, dude, like it's you and my dad on Skype. Can we do something different? And I'm like, well, what else do you want to do? And he's like, how about Discord? I'm like, well, I've been thinking about starting a Home Gadget Geeks Discord group. And he's like, oh, do it. So we started a Discord group. We'll have that link in the show notes. So you want to head over to theaverageguy.tv/HGG391. And the link for the Discord group will be the very top one in the show notes. You can join us out there. And I think, as I'm looking at it right now,
we could probably post the link in the chat.
Oh, I probably could. Maybe you could do that for me.
Yeah, I'll do that for you. I'll pull it while you're talking.
And so if you want to join us, I don't know, we got 8 or 9 maybe that's joined us since. It's not a ripping group yet, but we'd love to have you join us on the Discord group if you want to do that as well. We'll still continue to post on Facebook and on Discord, but we'll do that for now. All right. You've already heard from him. Dwayne Robinson is back. Dwayne, welcome to Home Gadget Geeks.
It's good to be back.
Good to have you.
I screwed it up, Jim.
Uh-oh. What'd you screw up?
Okay. Remember our last conversation? I was 294. 344, no, you did. 354, 374, and I was holding for 394, but what we're going to talk about today is time sensitive, so I have to talk about it before the 4. Yeah,
you did mess up the 4. good to have you back. How are things at Microsoft?
Things are good at Microsoft. There's so much going on, and it's really kind of exciting.
Yeah.
Like the thing I was talking about before, the soundscape thing, which I did put in the show notes toward the bottom. That's something that's really cool. I'm getting pulled into something on this where it's using AI to be able to, in spatial audio, so that blind or low vision people can navigate around. Like they wear like earphones and it tells them where they are and what's around them. And it's a really cool thing. So if you haven't done that, it's actually free on as an app download. And I put links in the show notes for it. It's here. I'll put it in the, what do you call it, in the chat as well. But yeah, if you haven't checked that out, it's really, really cool. And it was actually developed by a guy at Microsoft who was blind. That he built something that he thought he could use, and it's really cool. So yeah.
No, super good. We'll have the link out there. Microsoft Soundscape is a research project that explores the use of innovative audio-based technology to enable people, particularly those with blindness or low vision, to build a richer awareness of their surroundings, thus becoming more confident and empowered to get around. Unlike step-by-step navigation apps, Soundscape uses 3D audio cues to enrich ambient awareness and provide a new way to relate to the environment. It allows you to build a mental map and make personal route choices while being more comfortable with an unfamiliar space. That's super cool. Like this, I love it when we use technology for this kind of stuff, right? When it really, really makes sense and it helps people who couldn't get around for whatever reasons to be able to do that. Dwayne, I've also been using, speaking of Azure, remember we used to talk about Azure all the time. Remember back in the day? New offering in what's called Microsoft's Video Indexer on Azure using Cognitive Services, where you can upload a video like this one, and it will go in and OCR everything on the screen. It'll do the normal video translation or transcription. That's not what it's called, but it will transcribe. Yeah, I think that's the right word. It'll transcribe the video like you would, except what's really, really cool is you can feed it a file. You can kind of train it. So you can say, hey, here's some words that I use all the time, or here's some brand words I use. When I say this is the Average Guy Network and you have found Home Gadget Geeks, no translation services. Google doesn't get that very well. Anything I've used at Microsoft up until this point hasn't gotten that very well. When I train it with that sentence, when I put that sentence in a training file, it's just a text file, but I put that whole sentence just the way it is, it moves that transcription from about 70% to about 95%, which is super cool. Like there's a huge difference between 70 and 95 when we talk about transcriptions. And so we've been monkeying around with it at Gallup. I'm hoping to actually use it as a service, but it will also go in and find, it starts breaking down the conversations for you. So it starts finding key moments as it's going through where you can go and click and find. So, Dwayne, you would say something and you're talking for a while and then I switch back and the video switches. It knows those are switchable moments. And so it recognizes your face and it recognizes my face and maybe Mike's face. And it would index all of those. So I could say, show me all the spots where Dwayne was. Maybe show me the spots where Dwayne says soundscape, because that's what he was talking about. It tags. Anytime you would have said, when I said Microsoft, it would have labeled that as a brand, which is super cool. Uh-huh. And then on the background, of course, you can download those. This is the really cool part of this video indexer. In the back, I could take a snippet based on what you said. So say there was a paragraph that I wanted to capture for you. Based on what you said, I could capture that part of the video and then automatically send, it would cut it, just that spot for me. It would cut it and make it its own video and publish that anywhere I want, which for podcasters is pretty freaking amazing.
It's really cool stuff. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you another one, Jim. I just put it into the chat, and I also put it into the show notes where you were talking. And the one that you were just talking about, here is the link to it, which is the video indexer. So all of this stuff is what we call the cognitive services and the AI stuff that we're doing. And so this is where I work in Microsoft right now. Not what I started, but you and I think had a conversation about how crazy it is that I came in doing design of email systems and now I'm doing AI in cars. It's like, how did that even happen?
Yeah.
But the neural TTS stuff is a neural network that generates text to audio and you can train it, and you can't tell the difference between a human and other things. And we actually got demos of this, which we show internally. I don't know if they're publicly available, but I can talk about them, where we've actually taken and trained the neural net with Satya Nadella's voice, and you cannot tell if Satya Nadella really said it or not. And so we have like slide decks that go, did Satya say this, or did he, or is this a fake? And it's like a game that they play. So it's really cool stuff. And I will tell you, the people working on this back up at headquarters, I was over meeting with one of the ladies that leads a lot of this stuff. Her name's Lily Ching. She's a corporate vice president over in this area. And I'm just awed by her, because she has like over 300 patents while working at Microsoft. And she's got these little black cubes in one of these offices, and they're just stacked on top of each other in this corner. And you're just like, holy crap, how does one person have that many patents? So they've got really, really smart people, really awesome people working on this stuff. And, you know, it's cool to be here, to be at Microsoft in these days. It's not your Windows company anymore.
No. And of course, this video indexer could be, you know, as we think about all the things that are said in a podcast, you know, we create this long form podcast, and I really create it to consume people's time when they're at work or they're on the road or some of those, you know, some of these things where you're on a plane, you're going to listen to it from beginning to end, right? We create community with it. There are snippable parts, so to speak, where we could pull things out. But the stuff I do at work is really perfect for this indexing, right? This video indexer service where you can say, tell me, when I was interviewing Vint Cerf, he was talking about this concrete that they're creating that consumes CO2 instead of removing, instead of giving off CO2, right? If we have a CO2 problem in the atmosphere and we're laying concrete would be a great way to capture that CO2 and hold it right for the next whatever 100 years. And but I want to know,
until somebody takes a grinder to it and makes a hole in the ozone,
releases it again. But anytime I wanted to see, I could go in there and see, where did Vint talk about CO2 capture? And it would find that spot for me, take me right to that spot in the video. And then using the transcription service, I could define, I just want to take this part out. And I could define that really easily. And in a minute, I could have a 3-minute clip pulled out and published somewhere, where normally I'd have to download that, put it in a video editing tool, find it again, cut it out, pull it out, re-render it, upload it, right? I can do all this on Azure and never leave Azure. And it's super fast. Like, it's unbelievable. So great work on that. I mean, this is where all of a sudden it's gotten super interesting in the video space and in this text to speech and speech to text and in the editing and all the things that are going on behind it. Particularly, even I have this at work, I have this board behind me, and it'll OCR. It's got words on it, and it's always constantly trying to OCR that board. And so if you had a video that had a lot of words in there, it's going to go in and find those words. Even if they're not spoken, if they're just on the video, it will find those.
That's cool.
So super cool. So very. I'm sure that was all you. So thanks, Dwayne.
No, I'm just the guy that goes around and tells people about it.
Yeah. No. Super cool. Let's start with Iris, because Mike, you had also heard from Tony this week, I think, right, via Twitter, that
the past few weeks.
Yeah. And I don't have this. So, Dwayne, it happened to you. Well, tell us the story.
Oh, so it starts. So if people, first of all, we should say what Iris is. If you're not familiar with Iris, Iris is a home automation and home security system that you could purchase, and it was founded by Lowe's department stores. And so they were trying, through home improvement, to drive adoption from all the different home manufacturers, or the different people who make the parts that make homes, right? To drive in their home automation system, which they called Iris. And that's IRIS, just to make sure we're on the same page. I got this message while I think I was in China from a friend of mine who texted me and said, Iris is shutting down. And I said, what? And he's like, yeah. And if you recall, Jim, we went back and forth about Iris back in the day, and I talked about how I liked it, and then they went to that the V2 version, and everybody was pissed off. It was just like SmartThings. When SmartThings went to V2, pissed everybody in SmartThings off, and Iris did the exact same thing. And then what happened over time, you and I never talked about it again, and you probably heard a lot less complaining because it actually got really darn good for a bit there. And so they decided they were going to cancel it. Now, here's the thing. In the show notes, this is going to be a situation where you want to get the show notes on this one, especially if you're an Iris owner, because I've copied things in from their website for you, so you don't have to go hunt this stuff. But basically, when you went to the portal, sure enough, it has this thing that tells you they're shutting it down. The date they're shutting it down is a very important date, March 31st, 2019. So that's why I'm not on the 4 because we needed me on 391 to let you guys know in enough time to take action, because there's a few things that you can do. So, I even have my little Iris props. So it's my little thing here. So what they're offering right now, because when you go on, and the person who told me it was shutting down, I didn't know this when I went there to go see that it was shutting down and get the details. So if you go there and you get through being pissed off for a minute, and you see that warning, you got to kind of read what's on the page, because what they're going to offer is that between now and March 31st, if you go and log into the system and you follow the process, and by the way, in big words, it says, please do not try to return your Iris devices to a Lowe's store. Okay, so if you try to do this, it's going to fail. So you got to go to the website or go into the mobile app, and there's a link that will let you do this. And what it does is it will go through and it will look at what you have that is not reusable, and they will issue you a payment for those devices. And just to prove it, here is the Visa gift card for $404 from Lowe's Iris. And Jim, when you and I talked about coming on this show and we got it scheduled, which was only about 2 weeks ago, is when I submitted for this. And so it came in the mail. They sent it via courier, like a FedEx or something like that. And it does require a signature because it's basically $404 of cash so that you're getting from them. But I have to say that is respectable from them, because they didn't have to do that. They didn't. And the problem is that there are things that you get from Iris, things like this pen pad. This will not work with anything except Iris. However, weirdly enough, after I got it all done, they'll give you the money back on your motion sensors and on your door sensors and things like that. But those actually work under SmartThings. And I didn't know that, but it will. And so that's an interesting situation. So one thing you need to know is do not unpair your devices and throw away your hub or turn it off. You got to go through and leave everything paired and run it through, because even devices that aren't Iris, because they're giving you money for some things that aren't even just Iris, that they're worried about compatibility or have limited compatibility. So I recommend to everybody that has this that they need to go do this process. But then I found something new, Jim, that wasn't there. I was doing this today just to go get the links and everything, and they put a new announcement up, which I thought was funny that you might like to know, which is they've decided to open source and release it to the public. They're going to take Iris and they're going to rename it Arcus, A-R-C-U-S, which it says the Roman name for the Greek goddess Iris. And they're going to release it as open source. And right now they're going through a third-party review of the code to make sure that there's no issues with doing it. And then they said in the coming weeks they're going to announce what they're going to do with it. So I will say, you remember I said that I went to Iris and I probably told a lot of people to go. I was telling people it was a good thing. I still say that it was a good system. But what I will tell you is that I have to say that it's respectable to Lowe's. They did not have to give me this gift card. And this gift card paid for more than what a SmartThings hub would have cost me. And the fact that I have still got devices that I can still use, but they gave me the money back for them, speaks a lot to the morals of the company. And I just think there's more of that that needs to happen in the world, because it's a shame that they're shutting it down. I really am upset with it. And we'll talk more about that. But I will say that I respect them for this.
No, it's a super pro move. I mean, you almost never hear of that happening now where companies are refunding. There's been some examples, but they almost always just shut the door. You know, we used Chatwing for the longest time. I wasn't paying for it, but we got zero notice on Chatwing. It worked. Next day it didn't. And they just kind of, they shut that off. Are they planning to go with another vendor? Are they just getting out of the home automation game? What have you seen or what have you heard?
So they're getting out of the home automation game completely. I think their concern was it wasn't pulling in the profit that they had expected. Like, mm-hmm. people weren't subscribing to the services. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the problem. Now, I will say I signed up for their services. I paid the $9.99 a month. Know that if you're paying $9.99 a month, you should probably be thinking about turning that off as you do your migration, because they don't turn that off when you go through the process of getting funding. So just be aware they're going to charge you the $9.99 for the next 2 months that it's up and running if you don't do that. But you know, I subscribe to all of those services, but I think that was the problem. It's not enough user adoption, and I also think that there's something I found after I started doing the research that probably is the writing on the wall that forced them, to be honest with you, because, you know, if you're an Irish user, the next thing you're doing, you're not going to bet on this Arcus thing unless you're just a complete and total geek and are like, oh wow, I want to build my own home automation system. I think you're going to start evaluating what's in the market. And when I evaluated to get Iris, the market was a very different place than the market today. And I thought when this happened, I knew where I was going to go. Matter of fact, I'm just going to read what it says here. It says, many devices used with Iris are compatible with other smart home platforms. For example, SmartThings is a comparable platform to Iris. And to ease the transition, SmartThings support team is ready to assist you with the migration process. So a lot of what it felt like is that when they shut it down, they were going to hand it over to Samsung. Hmm. And but Samsung, we can talk about that as we get into additional things, because there's some SmartThings stuff that I ended up doing, but I think it became a very interesting thing once I made the move. So I think that's the first part, right? Is Iris is shutting down. You need to have a backup plan. You need to start thinking about coming off of it. Especially if you use it for like home access and door control, you really want to think about that, because you might need to be pulling the trigger or any of the automations that you're doing with your home thermostats and stuff like that. So I think that's a key thing. But as they started shutting down, Jim, I went and I said, there's something I got to think about. It's like, well, why did I choose it to begin with? Right? Because I had to go back and reassess my needs. Why did I do what I did when I did it? And I went back to it, and you guys could probably go all the way back, and I could probably look in my show notes and tell you when we start talking about this. Just to sum it up, I went there because I wanted more of a security system. I wanted pen pads, right, where you could punch in a PIN code, because I travel so much that if my wife doesn't feel secure, then I want her to be able to have an alarm on the house and be able to set it and feel safe. They had said they were going to put a monitoring system in place, and they did. So it was a professional monitoring option for it. But the other thing was that it supported Z-Wave and Zigbee, which in the time was not very common. It was people were betting on, is it going to be Z-Wave? Is it going to be Zigbee? Is it going to be, what was the other ones that they were out there? There was one that Microsoft got in, kind of bet on a bit, used electrical wires to help with it. I can't remember what it was, but the point is there was all these different fighting protocols. And I think we landed pretty much across the board that Z-Wave and Zigbee was going to win it. And pretty much that's what we saw. Right. And the thing also supported Wi-Fi as well. So if something was on Wi-Fi, it could control it. So I chose it because of that. And that's where I had to go back. So when I went to say, okay, well, what am I going to replace? I had to go back and say, okay, well, those were some of the reasons that I made the choice I made. But then I had to say, well, what else do I need to think about now that I went and invested all this money? Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, the first thing I need to do is look at all the devices I have. And believe it or not, that's what I was doing when I realized that they were giving me money for it. I was trying to log into the console to go and figure out what devices I had. And it was like, oh, okay. So, because that was a good place to get the inventory. And what I realized when I did that is that I actually have devices that are Zigbee. And I have things that are Z-Wave. I have them both. And I've got to figure out what hubs support this again. I'm going to have to go back to this evaluation of hubs. And I was like, great, that's going to be fun. And then I started going, well, wait a minute. How much is it going to cost me to replace all the door sensors, all the motion sensors? Because I didn't know if those would work on anything else, right? There's been more information that's been provided about what works and what doesn't since I did this. And I just assumed all motion sensors, all door sensors, all keypads, they're dead. Anything with an Iris brand on it, in my view, was dead devices. And that luckily isn't too significant. So, but then I said, okay, well, wait a minute. I've got a lot of devices in my house and those things cost a lot of money. And thermostats aren't cheap. And neither are door handles. Or like the door locks. Those things can be like $200 a pop, right? If you get those, the ones I have are those Schlage ones that are like touchscreen coats. Mm-hmm. And that replacing those was not an option. Replacing the thermostats, not an option. And it just so happened that both of those are Z-Wave. And the one that the thermostat I have is a Go Control. Which is not the most common one. It was like the cheapest one that Iris offered. So I kind of was in a situation where I was trying to figure all that stuff out. And then I came back and I said, okay, well, what do I actually need? What are my needs now? How have my needs changed from the day I bought it to today? And how did I address that in the meantime? So cameras became popular, right? Because at that time, if you recall, it was like $300 a camera, Jim. It was stupid expensive to get.
Oh, yeah, fact, totally.
And I even came on and said, do not use Iris cameras because they suck. So what did I do? I went to Arlo. But when I got into Arlo, I realized that my doorbell, I was always getting people's back of their head on my front porch. So I decided to put in one of those Ring doorbells. So I have this doorbell, the Pro one. And then all the cameras around the house are Arlo, other than this one Ring doorbell. Because the way the Arlo one works is it's just a doorbell and it activates the camera. So I would get someone ring the doorbell and I would get a picture of the back of their head. That's not real helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been very happy with Ring, by the way, and the Arlo system. I haven't had any issues. But the security I was doing through Iris, the home automation I was doing through Iris, I didn't have anything for voice control. Right. So I'm going to go ahead and stop for a second. I am going to say the A word and the C word and the G word.
Oh, well, don't do that. Now I got to find my mute button.
Hold on. Everybody, we give you a 5 second.
All right, I'm muted.
Okay.
There we go.
Fred,
you could just say A lady, but all right, we'll let you do it.
Too much of it. Too much of it on this session. Okay. So I already have an old Echo. All right. And I have an Invoke speaker. So I'm giving you a pass on the C word there for a minute.
You mean right? Cortana?
Yes. And Alexa, buy 7 dots.
No, you know, don't be that mean.
So pretty much I haven't integrated any of that stuff, right? And if you haven't heard much about what's going on in Cortana world, there's kind of a change in strategy. So that's not exactly an investment I want to make. Nor would I've probably made that investment even if that wasn't announced, just because of support, because I'm a person that's about what's the most support I can get. And what can I bet on? Because I don't want another Iris situation. All right. So the integrations, I really didn't have anything like where one thing was talking to another thing, Jim. It was like Iris was its own thing. And, Arlo was its own thing and Ring was its own thing. None of this stuff worked together. So I kind of looked at that and I said, well, what about music? In music, I do Sonos. So I was trying to think, well, maybe if there's any reason to do that type of stuff, I'll think about it. So what I went through and I evaluated in this process was Samsung SmartThings, Vera, which if you don't know what Vera is, it's this thing, which is a little Vera hub, which is like kind of like SmartThings, but more of an open source community that supports it. It's a very open thing, but it does have some challenges, like it's only Z-Wave. Then, which is why Vera didn't make the cut. Ring, if it has a lot of new stuff, which I don't even think Ring existed. I think since then they went on Shark Tank. Right, they were like DoorBot or something, and they got invested in. And then not only that, Ring got bought by Amazon recently. So I also looked because Alexa's starting to do this, right? So the Echo Plus has a smart home hub built into it. Google is kind of getting into that world, right? So they have Google Home. And then Apple, which I put in parentheses in my show notes, that we should all laugh together about Apple's ability to be a home automation system.
No, so they're not in that game for sure.
Do you use it? Have you used it? Because my HomeKit is set up, and for everything I use, I mean, obviously, I don't like when you talk about cameras, anything beyond really lights and your Ecobee thermostat, things like that. Anything beyond that, yes. But for some of the basics, it actually works really, really well.
If all you want, Jim, is 1996 level automation, then it's amazing.
Microsoft guy, Mike. Microsoft.
True.
Guy.
True. We're not guy. Well,
wait a minute. I said I didn't even give Cortana a shot.
No.
So what's up with that?
Yeah, true. Yeah. True. 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 And right. Yeah, you're right. She is pretty archaic when it comes to anything beyond lights and your thermostat.
And I'm pretty sure I don't want something that's tied to what phone I'm buying or whatever. So
correct. Yeah. You want to, yes, exactly.
So especially when I just bought a Samsung S10 yesterday. So
is that the folding screen one that just came out?
No, it's just the replacement for the.
Oh, S9. Okay. They have a new folding screen phone now. We got to look at.
Yeah, I just got to keep one of everything so that way I can test stuff.
There you go.
So the question will come, what did I go with? And the answer was nothing would fix it. It's like I couldn't actually go with one thing. So it wasn't an easy answer to fix the problem because I would run into something and I'd be like, oh, well, that's only Z-Wave. Or, oh, that's Z-Wave and it's Zigbee, but it doesn't do these other things I want it to do. Like not to the level that I need it. Like if you go into like Samsung SmartThings is not a security system. It's not, you're not monitoring anything. And not only that, in comparison to Iris's app and what it can do to Samsung SmartThings is stupid in comparison. I mean, it's so not even in the same ballpark and the way that the app works and everything. It's just, I don't know. It's very much, it's about the little hub. It's not about connected services that are enabled by the hub. It's just about the hub. And I'm sure that you can get all crazy and VScript monkey and make it do all this crazy stuff. But that's not what I want. I have to have something that my wife can use, I can use, and I want it to be simple. So what I decided to do is a friend of mine, a guy named Rob Dentler, You ever heard of this guy, Jeff?
I know Rob. Yeah.
He was the one.
He's still friends with you?
I know. I'm surprised anybody's friends with me, to be honest. But so Rob is the one who told me that the IRIS was getting shut down, believe it or not. And then it instituted this conversation about, well, where do you go? And he told me, he's like, you really should think about looking at Alexa, because they just released this new thing for a hub. And Amazon seems to be doing pretty good with that. And I was like, and I just came back from CES, by the way, Jim. Right. So I'd seen all this stuff and everything. There were people dressed up, but like Google idiots and Amazon idiots running around. And they were like dressed in these weird outfits and were just, it was weird. But CES is weird in itself. Mm-hmm. So they were just, it was almost like a war between Google and Alexa at CES this year, if you didn't go. And so I didn't really pay much attention while I was there, but then I was like, okay, I need to look at this. So what I decided to do is, one thing that Amazon's good about is if you don't like something, they'll take it back, right? And I said, I'm going to go ahead and buy the Alexa, what is that thing called, the Pro one? So that you can, the one that's got the smart hub built in, but it, the Echo Plus, that's what it's called. So I went ahead and I put all this stuff, by the way, is in the show notes. So if you want links to anything I'm talking about, it'll be in the show notes. I went on their website and it goes, yeah, we support your door locks. Yes, we support everything. Everything you've got, Mr. Robinson, is completely supported by Amazon Alexa. You name it, we will support it. You're like, well, would you support buying me a pizza? Absolutely, we'll support that. would you make the pizza open my door for me? Absolutely, we'll support that. I mean, it's like you look at it and you know how we used to compare the hubs and you'd be like, well, what devices will this thing pair up with? And which ones will that one? And you're like, and I did the same thing on Samsung's and I was like, okay, Samsung doesn't support this and they don't support that in their list. And I was like, oh crap. Okay. Well, and then I go to Alexa's page and it's like, we support everything. We're one big family, but they don't tell you how they do it. Right. Trying to get the specs on the speaker aren't exactly very clear because they're just wanting to talk about skills and all the other stuff. But what I found out after getting them, and by the way, I also now have an Echo Show and an Echo Plus, and I have the regular Echo, the new one. And if you can get a Dot, you're lucky because they've been on back order for over a month. If you get the new ones. But basically through all of this, I found out they only support Zigbee. So what did I tell you were the two devices in my house that were the the two types of devices that were the most expensive? Thermostat and doors. And I told you that they were both Z-Wave. So how the hell on Amazon's website are they saying that they support them? Right? That's where I went, I'm losing my mind, Jim. I'm like, how does this work? I don't understand. And I will tell you that if anyone who is coming from any other smart hub or any other smart home system gets Alexa, you have to basically reboot your brain because it does not work the way that you think it works. And I'll get into more of that. So the other thing was, I told you I needed a security system, and that was a key thing. So I had to replace the motion sensors and everything. And I decided that I was going to go Ring. And the package of Ring I got looks like this. It's the 5-piece package. And I went ahead and I purchased it because of the fact that that's what my doorbell is. And I figured I can unify security and motion detection around Ring. And then I figured that Alexa would do the home automation and other things, right? And so what ended up happening is I was like, okay, these things are going to work together because Amazon bought Ring. So surely these things are going to work. Not only that, they were giving away a free Dot with a purchase. So I was like, oh, okay, well, I can get a free Dot with this. And when I did the pricing, I think if you check it now, the pricing is like $159 or something like this for this thing, which is actually pretty cool. And what happens is that the hub for Ring is Z-Wave. So let's think about this, Jim. So now we got Amazon who's rolling out their smart home stuff, and they are Zigbee, but Ring is all Z-Wave. And so I'm just like, okay, one of these things is not like the other. So anyway, so I was like, okay, well then surely I can just use their Z-Wave hub to do everything else. Wrong again, Jim. No, because Ring is very much closed. It's not a hub. It is a Z-Wave communication system for their security products and their camera systems. That's what it is. So if you walk into Ring with anything else, than thinking it's a security system and camera stuff, it's not there yet. And I think that's one of the reasons why Amazon's like, we should just buy them because we have the automation, but we don't have all those other things. So got that. So then I start playing around with it and I realize I can't get my thermostats to work. And I'm like, well, how the heck do I solve this? And why is Alexa saying that I can do this and I can't do this? And I noticed all these stickers. Or I won't say stickers. They'll just like, you know how they put like other companies that they support up and down the side of the box? If you ever get an Echo speaker and I couldn't find the box for it, I would have shown you this. It like advertises smart things and all these other hubs. And so the way they claim to support stuff is that they become the one hub to rule them all. They are a hub or a system that can control devices, but can also control other hubs. It's like a if this, then that on steroids type of thing that they've decided to do, which is actually kind of brilliant in a way. But when you're moving over, you're having to think about legacy devices that you might want to bring into your, that you have. So what I did is I said, okay, how much is a SmartThings hub? It's like $59, $69 or something like that. And by the way, do not try to get this on Amazon. They make it almost impossible to find out which one is the actual current one. I ordered it on Best Buy, same day pickup, went and picked it up because I had to get this done over a weekend. And so what I ended up doing is I ended up using that, and it is doing my Z-Wave and Zigbee support for legacy devices. So anything that won't pair to Ring, and anything that won't pair to the Echo Plus is using Samsung SmartThings. And believe it or not, that's a very low number of things at this point, which I thought was kind of crazy. And again, I said I had the Arlo cameras, right? So, and oddly enough, Arlo cameras are supported by Amazon, Alexa. And I've even got other things that when we talk about this further, it's like things that'll blow your mind.
So Dwayne, hold on. Let me recap here just to make sure I understand. So you've got all the old stuff is now coming through a SmartThings hub. Right?
Not 100%.
But most, right? Most of your legacy, a lot of that stuff, because it does both Z-Wave and Zigbee, SmartThings is kind of that connection hub. And then Ring, it does all your Ring stuff, and then the Amazon device can see both those hubs. Then it can see both Ring and Samsung hubs at that point.
It goes even further. Okay. It can also see my Sonos system. It can also see my Arlo system. So it can see everything. Like it sees. Think of it as the hub that rules them all. I mean, it's like you can do all the logic and everything is being controlled at the Alexa side of things, but the device communication mechanism is just an endpoint,
mm-hmm.
right? And yeah. So what I have is I just have SmartThings was a $69 thing to make many other things.
Right. It's basically a bridge for you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's basically a bridge. And my goal is to work it out, like to make it go away. Because eventually I don't even want it, right? Long term, because it just depends on when things break or when I replace them. And at this point, there's not much paired to SmartThings. I actually was going to take a look and see what I did. Like one of the things I made a mistake on is I paired my doors, the door locks to SmartThings. And on the Verivox on on Ring and on Iris, you could program in and say, here are pin codes for certain people, and have control of your door locks based upon pin codes that are controlled over that system. And SmartThings can't do that. You can't say, here's a user and the pin code for that user. So, because they don't have a cloud service on the back end that does this, where the others are all cloud services driven. So what I ended up doing is moving the door locks to Ring, which Ring actually supported those door locks, oddly enough. It wouldn't support the thermostats. The thermostats had to go to SmartThings. But the thing is that what I ended up doing there is I said, okay, well, you know, I'll put it like that, because Ring will give me the features I'm looking for. And long term, my goal is to get everything off SmartThings anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So
did you look at Google at all in this? I've heard some really good, lots of folks have been saying, you know, the Google Home is the way to go. Did you look into that at all?
Yeah. First of all, I don't like Google. And that's not a like, I'm a Microsoft person and I don't like Google. I just don't like their monetization strategy as a company, right? Sure. Whereas Amazon is very consumer focused in there and everything. But the other thing is that it's kind of like between Google and Amazon, it's like an iPhone versus an Android phone.
It is exactly like that.
And in the early days, everything goes to the iPhone first and then makes its way over to the Android phone at some point. And that is exactly what's going on in this space. Not to mention, when I started going into it and I got this thing up and working, I will tell you, I was on the phone with Rob Dentler almost every day telling him, holy crap, I cannot believe how far ahead Amazon is over Google right now. When it comes to this space, it is so like immensely far apart. And I'll explain it. I'll explain what I mean by that, because I didn't know I was getting features. And there are people who are walking around today who probably don't even know that they can do what they can do with this setup. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. It will do that. And a lot of it has to do with what I know how to do, which is natural language intent routing, right? Which is what I just happen to be doing, but I'm doing it for like companies that are building competitors, or not necessarily competitors, but building enhancements of devices with natural language speaking that work. And sure, Alexa might be in there, but it's not, you're talking to the device, not to your mm-hmm. personal assistant. So I kind of understand how that stuff works. And when I started seeing what they had done, I went, that's brilliant. it's like a level of brilliance that I was like, wow, that's really cool. And I remember I called Rob Dentler and I said, every other home automation company in the world is dead. They are dead. And they are so far ahead in the home speaker, home experience stuff that it's not even, I don't even think it's close. I mean, I'm talking iPhone, where the iPhone was when the first Android phone came out. That's how far apart I think they are. And the reason that you don't hear about that is because people just have a speaker and they just talk to the speaker. And what will the speaker answer for me is the evaluation.
Yeah. The home automation, bits, I don't think the average consumer, you know, both Amazon and Google have sold millions of these devices, but very few, I think, are actually, you know, our listeners are, because they're nerds, right? They're geeks and they're hooking these things up. But we are a very small minority in these. Most people are just asking for their music or making lists or so, you know, or so. I thought Google was a little farther along, maybe because you ruled them out, you just didn't spend as much time with them. But I've been hearing from a lot of people that Google has caught up fast in the last 12 months or so.
Well, they're doing just like they did in the iPhone and Android, right? They accelerated to get into the commodity back to get to equality. And that time frame for that to happen was fast, right? They are catching up quick. But the problem is the light year ahead that the Amazon was. And so it doesn't make it, you can't make it up in a year. Right. And I mean, every mm-hmm. year, I would say there probably will get to equality in a year, year and a half. But what is that in the world of tech? And how much progress is Amazon going to make in that time frame? Because the opportunity here is pretty amazing. So I'll just give you a perfect example, right? They integrate so closely with Sonos that when I define a room, I can define the default speaker in that room to be Sonos and not the speaker. And I can tell it to play music in the room and it plays through the Sonos system. And those Sonos systems are not Alexa aware. That kind of stuff is crazy awesome, right? Like because I don't have to say it in some stupid way, right? Mm-hmm. They actually mm-hmm. understand the intent of what I want the Alexa speaker that is in the room and what room is the primary speaker system. If I tell it, say Alexa, turn off the lights, it knows what room it's in. And if there are lights that it can and cannot turn off in that room, it doesn't turn on and off all the lights in the house, right? Or if I say, turn them off on the porch and all that. So part of what you have to keep in mind is what you name stuff. And one of the things that just blew me completely away was the ability to define custom intents. Now I'm going to explain what that means. What that means is I can define an utterance, or I'm going to say A, and what that means is you are going to do B. It is a macro based upon a speech thing that you say. And so if I one of the first things I did just playing with this is that if I actually said to it, Alexa, dinner time, every Alexa speaker in my house will say, hey, everyone, it's time to eat. And so I can summon my entire family, and I do this every night now, where I actually summon them, and I could make it do other stuff. I could make it like start playing like a funny song and all everywhere. But the fact that you can do that, then you get even crazier, where you can define custom utterances that will do all kinds of actions, like, you know, the good night, and then it does all the different things. But I did something where it was like gave my kids their own utterance that actually turns on their lights, plays the music they want in the morning, and does everything they need it to do, right? And even shuts the music off after a certain period of time. I also have it where I can say lock the house as I'm walking out, and when I say lock the house, it will do what I told it to do. Not like it, and lock the house is not something that they support out of the box. But you can program it to do this, and it's just like another input is natural language, which is crazy cool to be able to do stuff like this.
I think you nailed it, where a lot of the people, you know, for me, right? Like I've had Echo since the first generation. Actually, my main Echo in my kitchen is still first gen. I've got Dots in every room in my house. I got one sitting here right on the desk. I didn't know about the whole room aware thing until you just mentioned it, right? Because I haven't played with these features since it first came out. Well, I have lights and every room in the house that has a Dot in it. I did know that, because what you mentioned with Sonos reminds me of when they first started out with that whole test. They were testing it with Amazon Fire Sticks or Fire TVs. So if you had a Fire TV or a Fire Stick in the same room, you could pair one of your Alexa devices with that Fire TV, and you could just be in that room and tell you, hey, Alexa, pause. And it pauses the TV show you're watching. And so they test it there. And now I didn't even know they've expanded it out to obviously Sonos, which is outside of their ecosystem. But the room aware stuff is very interesting to me, that because it's totally fitting. And I think you're totally right. Even tech guys like me, I haven't opened the app. I haven't played with it. I'm doing the same yep. stuff with the Alexa that I've done for the past 2 years. The only reason we open the app is to look at our shopping list when we're at the store.
Exactly. And this yeah. is where most people are, right? And yeah. I didn't know.
Even tech guys, I think, we just get stuck in this loop of thinking we know what it does, and they've updated it since then.
Yeah. And because of this, get this, my daughter's room has the first generation, first Echo that ever came out, and everything freaking works with it because it's all cloud side. It's right. all, they're adding all this stuff to the cloud. And in this is like a room on the top, and sorry, I've got this new camera with it. It's got a circle light. At the top, it's like, what's your default Alexa? So which is the one that's in this room, in the family room? And then you know, and then all of these different things. And then you can even create multi-room like names for audio playing so that you could say play music like this. And
play music upstairs and it might do all the kids' bedroom upstairs or downstairs. It's the living room and the kitchen.
Exactly. So you can do that where you want to do multi-room control. And it's the combination of natural language engine in conjunction as a macro component to be able to initiate automation. And it's stupid crazy. You can do it with sensors. I absolutely can do it with sensors, like what you used to do with like an if this, then that. But now you can actually turn it into natural language and program your own custom intents, which is crazy. I mean, that's like super advanced, guys, for like natural language systems. Because when I say I can program it, my daughter's name is Kylie and my son's name is Kipton. I can say, Alexa, do something in Kipton's room and it picks it up. It knows what I said. And that's not a normal word. Kipton is, and I spelt it his name, K-I-P-T-O-N. It gets the phonetic match to that. That is freaking hard, people. If you don't understand, that is crazy advanced. So there's that. But here, then something popped up on the screen while I'm playing in the app. And I'm like, what is this thing? That's interesting. Okay. So I started playing with the speech stuff and I saw this thing called Drop-In. Have you guys ever played with Drop-In?
We love it. Oh, Hannah and I use it all the time because I'm in the basement and I have my Echo here and she's upstairs and she'll drop in from our master bedroom. She'll drop in from the kitchen. We use it all the time.
And you can do it from the app.
Yes, which is crazy because if I can't get a hold of my wife, because usually she's left her phone in the bathroom, she's with our kids in the kitchen, I can always guarantee if I drop it on the kitchen that she's there. Kind of cool.
Yeah, so if people that don't know what Drop-In is, so Drop-In is that you can say, Alexa, Drop-In, and then you say the name of the Echo. So again, you need to think about what you name your devices. So I would say, like if I said, Alexa, Drop-In Master Bedroom Echo, right, then what's going to happen is it's going to create a conference, basically, like a speakerphone talking back and forth between the two. So if I'm downstairs in the kitchen and I want to talk to my wife who's upstairs, which I hate, this is one thing I hated about when I moved here. I moved from a ranch to a two-story house, and I feel like I'm running up and down the stairs constantly just to tell people or tell the kids or have a conversation, hey, have you done your homework? Or something like that. So when I did that, I was able to basically, it turns your whole house into an intercom system.
Yeah. It's the old school intercom system, right? That everyone wanted back in the day. At least when I was a kid, we always wanted the intercom system.
And there's these cool things like this that make it where you can hang a dot from a power outlet. And that allows you to be able to put that somewhere in a house, wherever you can hide it. And the fact that it has the audio, if you haven't played with the array mics that are on these things, they can pick up really easily. So you don't have to worry about that. And so you can get something like that for $9. And I think I checked today, if you buy a 3-pack of Echoes, you can get them with tax shipped to you for like $20-something a piece. So you start throwing these dots around, you've basically, they become the catcher so that you can initiate commands vocally, but you can also turn them into an intercom system or a music playing system as well. So, I mean, when you look at it from that perspective, you're like, wait a minute, if I just think of an Alexa, quit thinking about it like it answers stupid questions, right? If you think about it in the home automation piece as a natural language interface, intercom system, and, you know, and a music interface for your whole home, $29. Seriously, guys? I mean, that's crazy. That's why I said you start getting into this and you realize how far this is in advance. And not only that, I can, over the internet from any smartphone, have a conversation over data to it. And I'm pretty sure you can call between them, but I haven't really got into trying to get my friends to do it.
I think you can. You can send here, listen to this. See if it'll do it.
From Jim. This is an announcement sent from my phone. Thanks, Home Gadget Geeks listeners.
Yes. Yeah, so the same way you can do that, Jim, if you go into your app, you can go in and create a, and the place that you do it, just so people know how to do this, is if you go into devices, or I'm sorry, you click that little hamburger menu, and then you say routines, okay? In there, if you add a routine, it says when this happens, you hit the plus. This is where you can put a voice, and you can make it when I say this, you say this on all my echoes at the same time. So if you want to make it call and say dinner time, you can actually make it where it says to everyone, hey, it's time to come eat, come down, and it play on all of them at the same time as a macro. So that's just a simple thing. When you start playing with this, you're going to be like, wow, that's really cool. So I will say that I didn't know it was this far. It really blew my mind that I got all these features. Next thing I know, I'm buying dots and echoes all over the place. And because they don't cost much, it's not that big a deal. But the thing that I will get back to the home automation is that I also had to figure out how to set the rules. So the idea that I would recommend for most people is you're going to need to think about which rule engine can you use. So there's some things that it won't do. Like if you're wanting to control your thermostat more granularly, you're probably going to do that setting like in SmartThings. For me, that's where I'm having to do that. Like turn at this time, turn the temperature to this. But I want more granular control because I want to say if it gets below this, then do this. If it gets higher, then do that. That level of detail with SmartThings isn't 100% there yet within it. So you have that ability in those systems. And then Ring, because it's got the doors, it handles the pin codes and all that type of stuff. What I would tell you is think of Alexa as like this, if this, then that. Being able to do switching on and off and things like this, playing music, intercom system, all that type of stuff. But it's not too far-fetched that the rest of those intelligence are going to be added in the routines over time. And my goal is to move completely away from SmartThings over time and just go to that. Now, the reason I didn't, my thermostats are my main reason I have SmartThings, just to be clear. It was cheaper to buy a SmartThings hub than to rebuy my thermostats. And the reason I will replace all my thermostats, but I am convinced that Amazon will buy Ecobee. It makes sense that they would buy them. And I know they just bought somebody just recently. That Eero. Is in the home. They bought Eero.
Yep.
And I believe they bought Eero because they're going to turn that same plus speaker into a Wi-Fi mesh. Wi-Fi system. Guarantee you that's where they're headed.
Why wouldn't they? All those devices are already around the house.
Right.
And plus now they have access to all the data that leaves your house.
Right.
Yeah.
They know exactly what you're doing on the internet at all times.
Well, and think about this. If they took the Ring hub that they already have, right, that supports all the Ring stuff, they made that into a router. And then that router handles the Wi-Fi mesh core to all the Alexa speakers that you're going to spread all over your house anyway.
Yeah.
Why would they not do that? So the only thing they're missing right now is thermostat control. And that's why I will not buy a thermostat right now until I see who they buy, because I know whatever they buy is going to get fully integrated into this ecosystem. And I'll be able to say, I'm hot. And it will turn the thermostat up and down. Now you can do that today. Right. You can do that. But I want it to be smarter. Right. So I have a feeling that they're going to be able to pull this all together and determine what room I'm in. And if you think about Ecobee has the concept of understanding what's in different rooms. If they took the sensors and built it into the Alexa speakers as well, then you could just have an Ecobee thermostat and you put the speakers around and they tell the ambient temperature of the room. And then voila, you've got yourself the ability, I'm hot, I'm cold. You can control and say, oh, okay, well, where is this person talking to me? And adjust a proper thermostat.
Well, why not, right? Because like in my home right now, I got access points everywhere. I got the Ecobee sensors in the room and I got a dot in the room. Make a dot Ecobee sensor that's also a Wi-Fi mesh unit all in one, sold right here. Like I'll take it.
And think about it. What is it going to cost me? The $69 to replace the hub? So I'm just saying, you got to think about it. Like I would tell you, if you are sitting on Samsung SmartThings right now, you should go buy an Amazon speaker. You should, I think you might actually have to get the one that has the plus. I'm not sure. You guys will have to test that and let me know, because I don't have that experience.
So does
test.
The plus have the Zigbee in it, like baked in? That's why.
Yeah, I don't know if that's what added all the home automation stuff for me or not. So what I was hoping is
it had to be, right? Because there would have been no other hub to get that.
Yeah, but they could do it through skills. That's how they're doing it. They're doing it through skills.
Well, did you have another hub, though? You did.
Yeah.
You did have another hub that was pulling that in.
So what I would die to know is if someone got a Dot and they put a Dot with a Samsung SmartThings, could you get all the actions and the stuff that I was telling you about, will it work with your smart things from the Alexa service? I would love to know, but I can't test that because I don't have a way to test that. But if that works, then why the heck would people not start doing it that way? Because you have a complete glide path right off of the system, of the legacy system. So my view of it is it'd be pretty awesome. I will say that, you know, Iris was supported by Alexa. I am a little upset that it's gone, because I believe Iris is superior to, I still believe Iris is superior to SmartThings. I will have people who will disagree with me because they measure success in a different way. But for me, it was a better system. But I'm kind of the opinion that, you know, it's over for the home automation stuff. Amazon's already so far ahead in this stuff. It's like, Jim, I know Google's got a Wi-Fi mesh system. I mean, I know they have it, right? But the thing is that do they have all of this stuff working at a consumer level that my wife can make it work? Because now my kids are doing this. They're dropping in, talking to me. I'm just telling you, it's way too simple. I know that we're all techies, but I'm telling you, it ain't that hard for you to do this. And so any average Joe can do it, because they dumbed it down to a point. They took really complex stuff and made it really, really consumer friendly. And I almost think that the reason why some of the advanced settings that you'd get in a home automation system like SmartThings isn't there, because they're keeping it dumb on purpose to bring the people along as they get adoption. And this is a trick. Whenever you build a voice assistant, you put the most minimal thing in, and then you read the telemetry off of it to figure out what the people are asking. And that's what you prioritize to build. And so I see them doing this, and it's a brilliant thing. It's absolutely brilliant. So there we are. This is where I am now. And I'm completely over it. I'm a Microsoft guy telling you this thing is absolutely awesome. And I'm just telling you, it took me a little bit to be willing to say that to you, but here we are. Shocked, Jim? Oh, and by the way, here's the reason I went Ring.
From Jim. Nice job, Dwayne.
Ha ha!
Dwayne.
So what I would say is you should think about this. Like, everybody who's on Iris should probably think about moving in a direction like that, because I think you will actually be pleased. And not only that, the $404... more than paid for all the things I bought. That's the other thing. I will give you one little tidbit. If you are a Ring customer, if you subscribe to their premium service, the cheapest place to buy Ring things is from Ring, because they will give you a discount on all new Ring accessories. So if you're going to buy Ring and you're going to build it out, your best bet is to buy the pack I did, which is the small pack, and then buy the additional components that you need.
Sorry.
At a discount.
Sorry.
That wasn't loud at all.
No, it was super loud, wasn't it? I was trying to send a message. So here's the deal. Like, I've been sending these messages, but they're broadcasting across all of our echoes here in the house. My wife just went up to sleep, and so she's pinging me like, what are you doing? You know, why am I hearing these messages? Right? And I was like, oh, I wonder if I can just drop into the studio echo. That's the name of this one right here. I wonder if I could just drop into that, because that comes through the soundboard and we could just hear that. And then I could be sending you these cool little messages just through the studio echo. Well, when I did the drop into it, it tried to make a phone call. And then when I hung up, I got the loud. Loud. So the announce, I would love it if that announcement function said, which echoes do you want to send it to? Now, yeah. I imagine I could go in there and I maybe specify. Could.
You can. Yeah, you can say it only in one. Yeah. Or, and because you can actually have a voice command. Like I can say, wake up Kylie. And if I say, wake up Kylie, it'll turn her lights on. It'll start playing music and it'll tell her to get up.
That's part of the routine. So I would need to add that to a routine to say this when this happens on this device. Yeah.
Because it's not an announcement. Yeah. I see what you're saying. You want to be able to do one on demand dynamically, not as a routine. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. Just for the fun of, the show. Cause then it'll play through, you know, it play here and play through the, cause that's kind of fun. I mean, just to you listen, it's been a while. I think I'm like everyone else. Like I haven't looked in the Alexa app in a year and we've been messing around with some of these. I was on the road. I was coming back from Lincoln the other day. And so I was between Lincoln and Omaha and I was listening to another podcast and they were talking about this, about the functionality of being able to do the drop in right off the phone, which hadn't been there for a while. And so sure enough, I fired up the phone and I hit drop in on the kitchen and Sarah answered and I was like, hey, can you hear me? Which is like every phone call now we start with, can you hear me? Like on the old phones, we never did that. We just said hello, but now we say, can you hear me? And and she was like, well, this is kind of interesting. And yeah, I mean, there's some, I kind of missed this create a routine feature that's in there and gets me thinking like, okay, what else could I do? It also makes me want to put one of these things in every room.
Yeah, you know? that's the problem. And you're like, wait a minute, it cost me $29 a room.
Right.
And you're like, that's not that bad.
No.
My whole house, I can outfit the whole house for less than $200.
Well, if you watch for deals, sometimes you can get them for almost nothing.
Yeah, because right now, just so you know, the deal is that if you buy one, it's like $50. Don't buy one. If you buy two, they give you like, I think $20 off or something like that. And or $40 off, I think. If you buy three, they give you $75 off right now. And I was wondering, like, I don't know if you guys saw, like, I think Therat just put out something on his website talking about there was like 83.5 million smart speakers sold. Like they're getting into almost a billion of them. Right. And so, and you start thinking about it and you're like, wait a minute, holy crap, these things are getting really popular. And why is the Echo Dot second generation out of stock and on back order right now? It's out of stock and on back order because Jim, everybody's figuring out drop in and they're figuring out these other things and they're going, holy crap, I'm gonna put one in every room. And then you start getting into these little things where you can hang them on the walls and you can hide them behind something. And you're like, wait a minute, it's just like my whole house is now like audible. Now, there is something, Jim, that we do need to address. It. For the people who like to wear tinfoil hats, don't do this. Don't do it because you're going to not be happy with everything's listening to you all over the place and all that type of thing. I will assure you that based around what I know, the keyword detection, the way keyword detection works. So the Echo, the reason why you don't give it its own, your own word is because it would have to listen to you all the time and send it to the cloud. Okay. The reason why it only hears you when you say the three different keywords, I think that they support is because that algorithm of what that sounds like, that keyword, is on the silicone. It runs in the speaker for the keyword. It can only hear that keyword. And when it fires on that keyword, it then hands that to the cloud and the cloud verifies that that keyword was actually said. And then it opens up the communication. Now all this happens in an instant and everything, but I want to make sure people understand the speaker is not streaming everything to the cloud. And if it was, it would cost so much money to do that, that there's no way that they could afford the compute for a $29 puck, right? It would bankrupt the company. So the way they do it is a keyword detection on device that then verifies online and then opens the speaker to stream online. So just for people who wear tinfoil hats, I know that doesn't help you, But I will also say that, you know, yes, and I'm sure the NSA can absolutely
no.
listen in on everything. But I'm just telling you that I know that probably me saying that doesn't help with the people who are really, really worried about this. But I will also say that nothing irritates me more than people who are walking around with their laptop with a little sticker over the front camera, and they're walking around with their cell phone. And because that thing's got a GPS positioning system, an array microphone, how many cameras on it, and how many times you ever see anyone with a little sticker over their selfie camera or over all the cameras on their phone. You know, if the NSA was going to listen to you, they're going to listen to you from that, not from your freaking PC. Okay. So
sometimes I join a WebEx, I'm in my pajamas at home, and I need to have that assurance that they're not going to see me in my pajamas. Come on. Like there are some practical use cases there. Right?
Oh my God. You're killing me. That's a different problem. That's video.
There you go.
And by the way, I did get an Echo Show. I didn't talk about this. I did get an Echo Show. And here's the thing that really is freaking crazy. It supports all my Arlo cameras. I can say show the front porch. I can say show the back deck. I can do all of that, right? It's actually pretty funny. Works like a charm. If I say show the front door to try to get it to play the video from the Ring doorbell, which by the way, Ring is owned by Amazon. That doesn't work. But the competitor solution works perfectly. I was like, are you freaking kidding me? That's hilarious. So this is my life, Jim.
That's good. That's a good overview. I think it's a good, Dwayne, as you dig into this stuff, I'm like, I always think, you know, I look at your show notes and I'm like, oh boy, what are we getting ourselves into tonight as we talk about this? But as you work through it, I wasn't sure. I didn't read ahead on the notes because I like to kind of be in the moment. I wasn't sure where you were going with this at first. I was kind of like, what's he doing here? And I did not expect you to come up with the Amazon solution as being, your daughter's pretty freaked out by me right now. She's
like, so if you want to know what Kylie looks like, there's Kylie.
There we go. Yeah. I wasn't sure this is where you were going to land on this thing.
I am as shocked as you.
Yeah. I am a little surprised. Like I said, we've had a lot of folks say chat room, those kinds of things. They've really loved the Google. Now you've got a reason why you don't want to do that, but it is a good reminder of a lot of the functionality that has come on these Echo devices, on these Amazon devices. Sorry, I call my thing an Echo. It's going to speak up here in just a second. Nope, I guess it's not. And so you kind of once again, Dwayne, you have stunned me.
Yeah, well, and so Ryan in the chat room, by the way, is saying that his Echo Show will actually let him see his Ring. So I just want to make sure that people know I have the Video Doorbell Pro. I have the one that's hardwired. So I am curious if other Ring doorbell cameras will work. If this is unique to me, I don't know. I will tell you there's something really weird. Okay, so let me tell you, if you've got another hub, make sure you add all the devices to that hub before you add the skill, because for it to do the inventory. Okay, so Ryan, you've got the original. So what I have is the new one. So I have a feeling it's just a timing thing to get it done. So maybe it will be that the Pro will come here shortly. I'm not sure, but I'll keep you up to date on that one. So the thing I'm kind of curious about as we kind of go through this is going to be where will other people find like other little glitches? Because the like I said, the issue is when you add a skill is when it inventories and then you scan and then it asks you to scan the devices. So the only way I've been able to find for it to find new devices on another hub, like you add a new device to your SmartThings hub, I'm actually having to delete the skill and re-add the skill to reinitiate a scan to get it to do it. And I think this might be a temporary thing or maybe something they'll work on, but I have noticed that being a problem. But I'm not adding a ton of crap to SmartThings and other stuff. So as long as you just go ahead and add everything, I think you're okay. But because I am having a little bit of an issue right now on some stuff that I added to the Ring, being able to get the door locks to be seen again, because I took them off of SmartThings and then put them back onto the and then put them on the Ring. And I feel like it's there's some bugs there, but it's, you know, compared to what we were dealing with, Jim, back when we started this, it's like, I would never imagine I could say lock the front door and it'll just be like, okay, it's done.
Yeah, no, it's super great. We've been talking about it in some form or fashion, and I've been kind of holding off just because we're going to move and I don't want to put anything in here knowing that I'm just going to have to tear it out or I'm going to have to leave it. So this is good. This is a good reminder, you know, as I think about, the next place, kind of where I start and what I'm going to look at and how I'm going to do it. I would have, I've been, and I probably need to, I really do need to give the Google Home a look. I have a few of the, I have a few devices that I'll work on. They're not very good. So they're pretty slow, but, I think I got to give it a fair look. I think it's doing pretty well and I think it does some pretty interesting things. So good stuff, Dwayne. Good stuff. Yeah. I know you got a ton of stuff in the show notes, but that took most of the time. That we had, and we'll have you back on to cover some of those things. We'll have you back on to give maybe on the 6 month anniversary of your Tesla. We'll see if you still really like it even after, because you haven't. When did you buy it? Was it 6 months ago?
September.
October,
November, is when I got it. January. Yeah, I got it. I think February. I got it in September. Yeah,
you're at the 6 month mark now. Yeah. Thumbs up. 6 months. Thumbs up.
I have almost 9,000 miles on that car, and I don't think any other car in my entire driveway has moved in over a month. my wife and I are fight over it because it's like, imagine Jim. Okay, I'm gonna paint a picture for you guys for just a second here. So we're gonna go in. Imagine if every day you went out to your garage and you wanted to go somewhere, that your car was always on full.
Yeah.
That in itself is the reason. My Jaguar is sitting outside. It's been on like an eighth of a tank for like 2 weeks. That thing's a 550 horsepower, 553 foot-pounds of torque, all-wheel drive, beast of a V8 supercharged car, right? Super fun to drive. It actually feels kind of slow compared to my standard 100D. And I don't want to drive it because the first place I have to drive it is to a gas station. And that's something that does not exist anymore to me. And I'm like, this sucks. So the only, believe it or not, it's going back. The Jag goes back on in like a month or two, and I've already ordered a Jeep. So we'll have to do like a car thing. Why did Dwayne go from a 550 horsepower all-wheel drive sports car to a Jeep? Wrangler.
Yeah. Wow.
So, and why even have another car if you're fighting over the Tesla? Why not another Tesla? That's what I want to know. That's the real question here.
No, it's believe it or not, that was actually a huge discussion, and I can answer that question, but that's another episode.
There we go. We'll tease that out. Well, Dwayne, thanks for coming on and talking a little practical, I think, a little practical walking through, especially for those on Iris that may have a little bit of a wake-up call. What's the date on that? It's the 31st of March. Is that right? 2019? You need to submit that refund?
Yeah, you got like a month and what, 9 or 10 days now? So you probably need to get on it. And I think a lot of people ask how long probably did it take me to get moved over? Because that seems to be a common question. And the answer was it took me a good 3 days to get it the way I wanted it. If you talk about the device pairing process, just do not forget with Z-Wave and Zigbee devices, you need to go through the unpairing process or your life is going to suck. So just learn the process of unpairing before it. Don't just turn the Iris Hub off. If you just turn the Iris Hub off, your life is going to suck. So just unpair and repair.
Okay.
Wax on, wax off. Good. Or wax off. Wax off.
There you go. That's the right way. Good said. Well, Dwayne, thanks for coming on, and we'll do it again with you. And I never, Mike pinged me earlier. He's like, are we doing a show tonight? Are there any show notes? I said, we got Dwayne. It's covered.
So we're good. I know what that means. We're solid on the notes.
So pretty good. Like Dwayne said, I'll take the notes that pertain to what we talked about today. Lots of links and all kinds of good stuff if you want to go out there. We talked about those Microsoft services that are available from Azure, and I'll post those in there as well if you want to take a peek at that. That video indexer is super cool. They'll be available, theaverageguy.tv, then /HGG for Home Gadget Geeks. 391, right? That's how you get to it as well. Don't forget, if you want to support the show, we always appreciate when you do that as well. You can join us in Patreon. That also helps pay for the app that we put out there every single year. If you head out to theaverageguy.tv/support, that's the easiest way to join us. We have a $1 plan. Who can't do $1 a month? So if you're interested in doing that, you can't, no pressure. But some folks have asked they wanted to. So if you want to do that, head out there to Patreon. Super awesome, and we appreciate all those who sponsor us every single month. If you want to send me an email, jim@theaverageguy.tv. You can find me on Twitter @JayCollison. Mike is @WeegerTech if you want to follow him over there, and lots of good stuff going on that. If you want to join our Facebook group, it's facebook.com/group/TheAverageGuy. If you want to join the brand new Discord group that's going on out there, you can do that as well. Mike will throw that link in the show notes because it doesn't make any sense. I probably need to make a vanity. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to do this tonight before I go. TheAverageGuy.tv/Discord. Okay. So DISCORD. By the time tomorrow rolls around, the 22nd, I'll have that up and running. So if you want to join the Discord group, theaverageguy.tv/Discord. Well, I don't know why I didn't think of that earlier, but it is, there's where. Don't forget theaverageguy.tv platform, both web and media hosting, powered by Maple Grove Partners. Get secure, reliable, high speed hosting and super reliable from people that you know and you trust. Of course, that's Christian. And so for more information, you can visit Maple Grove Partners, all one word, Maple Grove Partners.com. All right, I think we're good. Well, we're a little long, so we'll skip the HelloFresh conversation. We are live every Thursday, 8 p.m. Maybe we'll do that in the post show. 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, out here at theaverageguy.tv/live. We'll be back next Thursday. Mike's got a few updates on some things he's been working on. We'll see you back here next Thursday night. If you're listening live, stay around for a little bit of a post show. No crypto today. With that, we'll say goodnight, everybody.